Welcome everyone to the 2026 Yukon River In-Season Salmon Management Teleconference season. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to join us as we begin another important season of discussions surrounding the management and future of Yukon River salmon. My name is Mike McIntyre, Communications Manager for the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association, and it is my pleasure to serve you as your host throughout this teleconference season. These calls will be held every Tuesday from June through the end of August. Throughout the season, we will provide updates on Yukon River salmon run assessments, environmental conditions, research and monitoring efforts, and ongoing management activities. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all new participants joining us today. We also encourage you. We also encourage young fishers to participate in these calls to learn, engage, and become involved in Yukon River fisheries issues and management. These teleconferences provide an important opportunity for people from across the Yukon River to share observations, concerns, and local conditions. We encourage fishermen, tribal representatives, researchers, managers, and community members to actively participate. Your knowledge and experience help build a broader understanding of the challenges facing our salmon and river communities. We would like to thank our funding partners, the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission and Tanana Chiefs Conference, for their continued support in making these calls possible. For many years, these teleconferences have served as a communication bridge between local users and fishery managers across the 2,200 miles of the Yukon River. As salmon declines and changing river conditions continue to affect our communities, the need for open communication remains critical. However, the challenges we face today require more than information sharing alone. They require collaboration, problem solving, and action. Our goal is to ensure these calls remain a platform for meaningful discussion, actionable feedback, and collaborative solutions that can be shared with management agencies, organizations, and decision makers. By working together, we can identify practical opportunities to improve fisheries management and support the long-term health of the Yukon River salmon. As we move through the 2026 season, I ask that all participants be respectful of one another. This is a space for constructive dialogue and shared learning. By listening to and supporting one another, we can foster productive conversations that benefit our fisheries and communities. Oyana, for your time and participation and commitment to the Yukon River. The Yurtfa In-Season Subsistence Salmon Survey is currently getting started. We thank the National Park Service and the NOAA for funding the program this year. This year, the surveyors are utilizing a digital app version of the program and hope to make it available to the public soon. We will update you when it is ready to download from the App Store. We want to encourage fishers in the in-season survey communities to reach out to their local surveyor and share what they are seeing on the river. This program is a way for fishers to anonymously share their observations as well as their concerns or challenges with the managers and the rest of the river. The in-season survey communities include Alakna, Mountain Village, Marshall, Russian Mission, Anvik, Huslia, Ruby, Tanana, Fort Yukon, and Eagle. Just some housekeeping before we get started. Please press *6 to mute and unmute your line. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press *6 to mute and unmute. Background noise and conversations are disruptive to callers who are sharing important information. Okay, let's get started. Will media please announce that you are on the line? Do we have any government representatives or staff members on the call today?
Guys going in the
Mike Wood, Alaska Board of Fisheries.
Welcome, Mike Woods. Yukon Area Manager managers from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, please introduce yourselves and give your reports.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Bonnie Borba. I'm the Alaska Department of Fish and Game fall season research biologist, and I'm going to give some initial fall season assessment information. So the fall chum run size projections based on the summer to fall relationship through July 18th was estimated to be greater than 400,000 fall chum salmon, and that is above the preseason forecast. The projection is still well below average fall chum salmon run size of about 940,000 fish. We will be using in-season assessment to determine the run size, and we'll watch the age classes as the run develops. As of July 27th, the cumulative CPUE at the Lower Yukon test fish was below average. The first quarter point based on median run timing occurs around August 2nd for the fall season chum salmon at this project. The Mainstem Yukon River Sonar project operated near Pilot Station transitioned to fall season counts on July 19th. A group of fish moved in the river late last week and is currently passing the Mainstem Yukon River Sonar project operated at Pilot Station. As of July 27th, the cumulative passage was approximately 70,000 fall chum salmon. This compares to a median cumulative passage of 123,000 fall season chum salmon for this date. The first quarter point based on median run timing occurs on July 31st for fall season chum salmon at this project. No coho salmon have been captured to date in either project. Coho salmon typically enter the Yukon River in mid-August, with the bulk of the run occurring between August 16th to the 27th at the Mainstem Sonar operated near Pilot Station. Once the fall season chum salmon samples are sent into the lab, we will provide genetic mixed stock analysis for the main components of three main fall stock groups, the Upper Yukon U.S. stocks, the Canadian stocks, and the Tanana Falls stocks. The fall season chum samples from the Lower Yukon test fish from July 16th through the 25th have not been aged yet, but the percentage of female salmon was 33%, which is below the historical average of 50%. The average length of these fish through July 25th was 568 millimeters, which is below the 2001 to 2025 historical average of 580 millimeters. Monitoring of escapement in the upper Yukon portion of the drainage within Alaska will be assessed with sonars operated on the Chujinjik and Shinjek rivers starting around August 8th. The average transition date from Chinook to fall chum salmon monitoring is around August 20th at the Eagle Sonar Project. We'll be using all of these assessment monitoring projects along the migration route to determine if escapements will be achieved for the drainage wide goal, 300 to 600,000, as well as the goals on the Trajinjik. At the preliminary preseason run size projection, we do not expect the Canadian goals to be achieved for the Fishing Branch River or the Mainstem Yukon River based on the Eagle information. As the fall Tanana stocks are the latest component, the goal of the Delta River will be the last to be assessed. Water temperatures in the Yukon River at Amonic are currently well below average for most of July, and Eagle has been lower than average all season. Some high water has come down the Yukon River from Canada. Currently, it is at average level in the upper river at Eagle, but just cresting in the lower river around Pilot Station. The Tanana River drainage systems have remained near average all season except during a couple short rain events. The cooler temperatures should be good for the salmon, and the high waters slowed swimming speeds a little, but the migration is moving on up the river to the spawning grounds. That's all I have. Matt's going to cover the management strategies for the fall season.
Yeah, thanks, Bonnie. This is Matt Olson, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Yukon River fall season manager. And, so fall season started in the lower river 3 days early this year on July 13th and has been, working its way up to, the upper river district, along with historical, fall chum salmon run timing. The initial fall season management actions and closures have been announced, and are in effect all the way up through, Subdistrict 4A upper and the Kayak River, and 4B and C will officially start fall season at midnight tonight. The District 5 start of fall season announcement won't be out until Thursday, but that'll announce the start of fall season in all of District 5 with timing in all the sub-districts, again, based on that historic fall term salmon run timing. Just as a recap, the initial fall season actions are to close fall chum and coho, in addition to any chinook that might be around. And then 4-inch gillnets will be on the, or district-wide will be on the noon Thursday to noon Sunday schedule. And the 6-inch schedule off the main stem in those designated whitefish and non-salmon harvest areas that are outlined in the announcements is open 24/7 in all the districts that that fall season management has started in already. So, yeah, again, you know, just kind of reiterate some of the things that Bonnie said. Yeah, we're expecting a run that's been better than the last couple of years. Hopefully we'll be able to meet that drainage wise gating goal this year. However, it's still not going to be enough to meet our Canadian treaty objectives. And so fishing in the main stem, Yukon will need to remain closed, likely throughout the season unless they show up, you know, way stronger than what we're thinking. We'll keep an eye on things, in order to hopefully identify an opportunity in the tributaries. For meeting our escapement goals in the Tidrinjik or at the Delta River, in the upper Tanana drainage. We'll keep our eye on the genetics and the passage to hopefully identify those opportunities if they materialize. A little more optimistic on the coho front. This year they're coming off a much better parent year than last year's run was, and if survival stays up, like it did last year, we could be looking at some coho opportunity, you know, later on in the season. So we'll just need to see those fish in the river first and identify the surplus. So that's about all I have for fall season management, but I'll be on the rest of the call to answer any questions you got.
Thank you, Bonnie and Matt. Yukon area managers from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, please introduce yourselves.
Hi, Mike. This is Matt Olson with Fish and Game again. So Keith Heron of Fish and Wildlife Service messaged me yesterday and let me know that they were going to be attending the Nenana Culture Camp today and wouldn't be able to be on the call. He told me to relay the message that they didn't have any extra management actions or announcements in addition to the ones that we've already been sharing. So, thanks.
Thank you, Matt.
Hi, this is Fred West of Fish and Game. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Fred.
Yeah, I guess I can give a summer assessment update.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Fred.
All right. Everything's kind of transitioned to the fall season in the lower river, as Matt was mentioning. We still have a few summer assessment projects still going on. For the Eagle sonar, that would have, for normal timing, you would have reached the midpoint on the 26th. So, that passage is looking better than the last few years, but we're still not going to meet the border passes goal of 71,000. So we're not projected to meet that. For the Andex sonar project, that project ended on the 26th, and they ended up with a cumulative chum count of 259,194, which is below the medium passage of 438. thousand, but it is better than it has since I think 2019 or 18. So that's encouraging. For the Chena, we've got a passage of 1,297 Chinook, which is below the average of 4,300. And for Sulcha, we have a count of 1,672 Chinook, which is below their cumulative average of 6,200. So those projects kind of started late, and they also had a couple days of high water. They weren't able to get counts, but yeah, those projects are still operating, but the numbers are a little bit below average. And for the actual eel count through yesterday, they're up to 17,947, which is below their cumulative average of 30,000 right now. But so far, it seems to be tracking pretty close to the upper end of the forecast. So, yeah, like I said before, it's well below the 71,000 quarter passes goal, but the run size is bigger than it has been since 2019 so far. So, and for, we still have the Ray Telemetry Project, and that they are continuing to tag through today, but they are planning to close shop after today, but we'll still be doing tracking fish using remote tracking towers and also aerial surveys, but both have been Alaska and Canada, so there'll still be fish above Rapids area and in Canada. So, and for we did get a little bit more age comp for snook. We have ages for 398 snook, and the age composition so far is 10% age 4s, 62% age 5s, 27% age 6, and less than 1% age 7. And the percentage of age 5 is above average, while the age 4s and 6 and 7s are below average. And the size at age, for each age class, they're similar to the recent 10-year average, but the overall length of all ages is a little bit smaller than the recent 10-year average. So that was 714 millimeters compared to the recent 10-year average of 727 millimeters. Yeah, that's all I had for summer season assessment. I think Dina's on that same trip, so I don't think she has any management updates or anything. Thanks.
Could you look at pilot station again, please?
Fred?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Where are we on pilot station? We were at... for Chinook, we were at 103,304, and they've had zero to the last, I think, 3 days. And then for Chum, we were just over a million, and they stopped. They transitioned on the 19th to fall season. So.
Thank you, Fred. We'll go to the organizational reports if no one has anything else.
Oh, this is Jacqueline Kendall with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans in Canada. Did you want me to go next?
Yeah. Yes, that's who's been called.
Okay.
Go ahead, perfect. Jacqueline.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jacqueline Kendall. I'm the Acting Operations Manager with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans for Canada. I'm going to just introduce a really brief Canadian management update, and then I'll pass it off to my colleague, Luke Glover, to follow in with some stock assessment and environmental conditions updates. So we are still within Chinook management in Canada. And there are no new management actions to report since last week, or those that were indicated pre-season. So although the preliminary Canadian origin forecast increased, as noted, we are not expected to see border passage that exceeds the 71,000 rebuilding target. So the public angling, which is our recreational fishery in Canada, will remain closed for the season, as well as the current closures in the commercial and domestic fisheries. And that domestic is that non-Indigenous food fishery. Looking forward in regards to when the chum season does begin in Canada, again, there have been a slight increase to projections, but we are not anticipating that Canadian spawning objective goals will be met. So similar with Chinook, the pre-season management actions will remain in place, which again are the closure of that public angling fishery, as well as the closures in the commercial and domestic fisheries as well. So we're going to continue in Canada to meet regularly on our in-season series of intergovernmental meetings. That's between DFO, Yukon First Nation government reps, and Yukon Salmon subcommittee members. And so we'll just continue to share information on the domestic assessment programs, which Luke will cover here shortly, as well as continuing to provide run status updates as the season progresses. So that's a bit of a brief update for me. I will stay on the line, but pass it on to Luke for now to follow up with the stock assessment and environmental conditions report.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Luke Glover. I'm the Acting Senior Aquatic Science Biologist for Yukon River Operations with Fisheries and Oceans Canada. I will begin with an update on the Canadian stock assessment projects, followed by a brief overview on current environmental conditions. So firstly, our DFO crew is currently working the Porcupine Sonar just downstream of Old Crow Yukon, which is a collaborative project with the Bunuk Gwich'in First Nation. We've had 727 Chinook estimated to pass the sonar as of July 27th. Compared with last year's count on this date of 289, the project average of 1,524. We also have a crew on site in Eagle supporting the delivery of the Eagle sonar project outside of Eagle, Alaska. This camp's located 30 kilometers downstream of the U.S.-Canadian border and is integral to the estimate passage of salmon into Canada each year. I just want to pause for a minute. Is there any Canadian First Nation managers on the line that would like to speak to their projects directly, or I can continue with an update? Okay, next I'll give an update on the Klondike River Sonar, which is run by the Trondike Gwich'in First Nation in Dawson City, Yukon. It has seen an estimate of 171 Chinook passed as of July 21st, compared to 101 on this date last season, and the project average was 525 fish. On the Stewart River Sonar, which is run by the First Nation of Natronaik-Dun, is in its first year of operation. They've dealt with high water at the start of the season, which delayed their initial operation, but they've estimated 625 Chinook passed the site as of July 26. For the Pelly River Sonar, which is run by Selkirk First Nation near Pelly Crossing, Yukon, has seen an estimated of 1,340 Chinook passed as of July 26. Compared to 1,063 on this date last year, and the project average is 1,889. They too were dealing with high water this season, which resulted in only having a single bank operational until Saturday, July 11th, when they installed the right bank sonar. Lastly, the Nesuttenland sonar, which is run by Teslin Inuit Council, had 5 Chinook past the sonar site as of July 19th. It's still early in their operation, where they had 0 fish past the site on this date last year. Turning the focus to fall chum, it's still too early to see chum in Canada, but as the in-season projection was provided by Alaska Department of Fish and Game, we also update the projection for 2 fall chum stock groupings in Canada. Based on the stronger return of summer chum than forecasted, we are projecting to see more fall chum than the forecast preseason. This results in an updated projection of 47,000 for the main stem Canadian Yukon River chum stock grouping and 19,000 for the Fishing Branch River stock. Now moving on to some environmental conditions. The Yukon River and most of its tributaries continued their seasonal decline this past week, with water levels dropping steadily following the spring runoff and early summer rainfall, the notable exception being most of the southern lakes, where water levels continue to increase with glacial melt. Nearly all rivers in the territory are within their historical range. The Porcupine River continues to recede throughout the week following the previous increase earlier in July. Water temperatures monitored at assessment sites range from 16 degrees Celsius on the Pelly River to 13 degrees Celsius on the Stewart River, with Nesuttenland and Porcupine Rivers both averaging around 14 degrees Celsius. Cooler conditions are beginning to replace the recent period of warm, dry weather, with declining air temperatures and rainfall expected in the coming days. And that's the whole update that I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacqueline and Luke. I'll move to the organizational report. Sorry about that. Is there anybody from the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission that would like to give a report? I have Craig.
Can you hear
me? Yeah, I can hear you, Craig.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you, Craig.
Okay. Hi, everybody. We don't have a ton to update. I am just getting back into the office from taking some time off this summer, making my way back from Bristol Bay. Staff are currently down in Nanana at their culture camp and visiting and participating down in that neck of the woods just south of Fairbanks here. I had my first opportunity to recheck in and visit with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Matt and Dina, on our weekly call this last week, and then a quick follow-up with Keith and Holly. It was really great to be back and to visit with folks and kind of hear the updates of how the summer has been going. Just really continue to be supportive of the and happy with the visits, the discussion, and the rationale that have been happening in those weekly calls. Really excited to see and watch the staff continue to collaborate and visit and work issues through. I think there's a lot of updates still that I'm getting caught up with on administratively, and then with how things have been going within the watershed. I've had quite a few good chats with commissioners and executive council members within the Fish Commission since returning from lower river on up. And I think the big main announcements that we have, we've got an executive council work session coming up Monday, August 3rd, and then an official executive council meeting coming up August 24th. So it'd be a really good opportunity for folks to get in touch with our fish commissioners and share any information or updates with the folks there if there are any issues and concerns that they would like to be brought up within the Yukon River and Tribal Fish Commission. It seems and feels like we've had a good summer, and we've likely got quite a bit of work ahead of us leading into this winter and spring and next summer schedule. So just that's really kind of where we're at, I think, right now. If we have any other, if there are any other big questions or concerns, happy to answer or visit, but that's really just kind of getting back in the swing of things on my end, and really appreciative for staff being busy and participating and visiting with some of the community visits over the summer. So that's kind of the big main update that I think I've got right now.
Thank you, Craig. Is there anybody from the BBAYK that would like to give a report?
Hello, this is Karen Gillis.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. Hey, thank you for having me, and thanks for everybody who has already provided information. Just a great source of information, and I appreciate you guys hosting this call. So I'm with Bering Sea Fishermen's Association, and we host the BBAYK call every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. And our calls are open to people who reside in the communities of the Bristol Bay, Arctic Yukon, Kuskokwim, as well as Kotzebue and Chinook regions of Alaska, or are working for organizations that serve those communities. And so if there are folks on this call who would like to attend and talk with folks from around the state about generally pretty universal issues, you can email me at Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at bsfaak.org, or you can call or text me at 907-887-1148. I almost forgot, we do also include our Canadian colleagues. So we're looking at a couple of things. At organizationally, Bering Sea Fishermen's Association has sent a request to the State of Alaska Department of Law, formally requesting an ethics review. If folks are not aware, the Secretary of Commerce has selected Forrest Bowers, who is the Deputy Commissioner for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, to fill an independent public seat on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. We believe this appointment raises really significant concerns regarding compliance with the Alaska Executive Branch Ethics Act, and creates potential conflicts between Mr. Bowers' official state duties and now these potential new federal responsibilities. We think it's an institutional conflict of interest that he would lack independence because as a State of Alaska Deputy Commissioner, we don't believe he can maintain the independence required of an at-large council member seat while bound by the agency's sort of chain of command and ADF&G's one-voice policy. So I just wanted to let folks know we have not heard anything back from Department of Law, but we'll let folks know as soon as we do in our Thursday morning meetings. In addition, I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that are, you know, concerning to multiple regions, as is, you know, sort of our focus. And that is that through yesterday, July 27th, the chum salmon harvest in the Area M commercial salmon harvest fishery is 677,936. It's a very pretty high number for that fishery. While we maintain that the month of June generally carries the higher genetic component of AYK chum, they did harvest 486,207 chum by June 30th of this year, which is just, you know, again, a continued concern for the folks in the Arctic, Yukon, Kuskokwim regions of Alaska. And another topic that we're going to be talking about on Thursday is the use of drones and camera-based systems in the BBAYK and other areas of Alaska. We'll have a special presentation from folks, a couple of folks around Alaska. And so if folks are interested, again, please contact me, and I will invite you to our meeting. Thanks for the opportunity to talk today, and hope everyone's doing well.
Thank you for your report, Karen. We'll move on. Is there anybody from the Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council? Right. Is there anybody from the Council of Yukon First Nations that wants to give a report? Is there anybody from the Yukon Salmon Subcommittee?
Hello, this is Dennis. Can you hear me?
Yes, we could hear you, Dennis.
Great. Yeah, Dennis Zimmerman, I'm the chair of the Yukon Salmon Subcommittee, and I'm here with Hannah Turner, our executive director. Thanks for the opportunity to provide some updates. So, yeah, we're in the midst of the season, of course, working with our partners, DFO, YFNSSA, and Yukon First Nations and others. One of our major requirements is to provide a recommendation to the Minister of DFO under Chapter 16 of the Yukon First Nation Final Agreements. So we have done that, and we have received a response from the Minister. It's largely to ensure that we maintain the 7-year agreement and sort of what's stipulated within that. Some of our priorities right now are we're focusing on the rebuilding plan. We have for Yukon River Chinook, Canadian origin, we have a domestic rebuilding planning process for Yukon River Chinook that we're trying to develop a practical implementation plan and that we can mobilize in the communities and work with our partners and try to find resources to make sure we can resource the rebuilding of Chinook domestically. And then, of course, we're working with our Alaskan partners through the international rebuilding process that is through the Yukon River Panel. So that's been a big part of our work as of late. We have a committee meeting tomorrow, so we'll be moving forward hopefully on some motions to give that a little more definition. This time of year, we spend a lot of, once, you know, fish start entering into Canada and, you know, one fish has passed through the fish ladder here in Whitehorse, the media starts calling, so we do a lot of outreach. We do a lot of media interviews, and just to talk about the status, what's happening. And we also participate in a lot of partner initiatives. A lot of the First Nations hold salmon ceremonies and gatherings, and in particular, Teslin-Tlingit Council and the First Nations Salmon Stewardship Alliance held one in Teslin, so we participated in that. Also, the Southern Lakes First Nations are hosting one this week as well. And I know there's lots going on in all the communities. And Trondek around Dawson, they've got a lot going on, Mooseide, and they've had their first fish. So great to see that all happening. Our interest is keeping salmon in the hearts and minds of Yukoners while there is no harvest. Otherwise, thanks for the opportunity to participate in that. We really appreciated the support to the Education Exchange through YERDFA and others, and we look forward to seeing you all. We're already starting to plan for this fall for our various workshops in Alaska, those rebuilding workshops, and hope that we can make a lot of progress to see practical implementation and rebuilding. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Is there anybody from the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council that wants to give an update or report? Okay, we'll move on to the community level reports. I will start from the headwaters of Canada. And just a reminder, please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. If you're using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to mute and unmute. Is there anybody from Canada, the communities of Old Crow, Dawson, Whitehorse, Mayo, Pelly Crossing, Carmax, or Teslin? I would love to give her a report. Here none. I will switch off to District Y6 A, B, and C, communities of Manly Hot Springs, Minto, Inanna, and Fairbanks. Please press star 6 to unmute or unmute your line. I wanted to give a report. I heard somebody from Fairbanks earlier. I'd like to speak. If you want to speak, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. Hearing none, I'll switch off to District Y5 C and D, communities of Stevens Village, Beaver, Birch Creek, Fort Yukon, Chalcetic, Venati, Arctic Village, Circle, or Eagle. Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line.
Hi, this is Carlissa Tremblay here in Fort Yukon. I'm the surveyor.
Hello, Carlissa.
I surveyed about 5 families and 2 which are fishing. They said it was worse. Not much. They have caught just few whitefish and pike. The water has been high. It looks like it's going to go down. Well, just noticing in front of my town. And we've been having good weather, sunny, and that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlissa. Is there anybody else from District Y5 C and D that would like to give a report? I'll switch over to District Y5 A and B, communities of Tanana, Tanana Rapids, Rampart, and Yukon River Bridge. Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. I'll move over to Koyukuk River, communities of Huslia, Hughes, Alakakit, Alatna, and Bettles. Please give your report.
Hello, this is Charlene Vent of Huslia. I still have nobody interested in the surveys, but there is people fishing. I just don't know who it is, but our water is starting to come up, and it's been raining here and there, but nothing really going on. A lot of people working.
Thank you, Charlene. Is there anybody else from the Koyukuk River that would like to give a report? I'll move over to District Y4A, communities of Anvik, Grayling, Caltag, Dilado, and Koyukuk. Please give your report. Press star 6 to mute or unmute your line.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, good afternoon. Nathan and Anvik.
Hey, Nathan.
Yep. We were able to get some chum salmon for the community here. I think everybody who was able to get some probably got their fish put away, but so that was a good sign. Weather's finally sunny. Had about a week and a half of rain. High water like a lot of other places, but it does look like it's dropping now. I did have was kind of curious on the, I know there was a statement that was just put out by the Fish Commission on an article that was put forth by NOAA on Ichneumonas. Well, I was curious if any other fishing organizations thought about, or if we were going to ask anyone else to maybe put a statement, a press release out on that. I think the more people involved in putting the statements and stuff out on these types of articles and stuff that NOAA and other people put out, and just making sure that all the evidence is there, not just Ichneumonas, but we all know there's a lot of other stuff going on to the king salmon, which states in the statement that was put forth by the Fish Commission. But I think it's important if we, the more people talk about that, those types of things, is that probably the best. Also, I was curious, I heard something about, I don't know if this is true or not, maybe someone on the call might know, but that Area M, they were got a late start on their fishing because of the ice, and that could be a possibility why more fish went up the Yukon this year. I'm not too sure. Someone was telling me that. I'm not too sure the truth of it, but I was just wondering if anybody on the call may have knew anything on that. I guess that's all I got.
Hi. This is Karen Gildas. I just wanted to quickly respond to the question about Area M starting late. They did not start late according to the schedule that they were allowed to fish this year. So I'd have to look into that further, but that doesn't sound correct in my estimation. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
And just another quick follow-up on the statement from the Yukon River and Tribal Fish Commission in that NOAA report. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that, so thank you for bringing that up. It is really concerning, the information coming out of NOAA and NIMS and pointing towards environmental concerns and issues that are outside of our control. I think we all know and understand that there are environmental changes happening, that impacts are tangible, and there's things that are happening within the watershed and out in the Bering that can definitely raise concern. But the main focus that we want to continue to advocate for are issues and concerns that we can control, which Karen, thank you for bringing up the numbers from Area M. I hadn't seen or heard those just quite yet. But, you know, a lot of our organizations spent a significant amount of time and energy in February of this year working really hard to advocate for a lot of the intercepts in both state and federal waters. And it feels like when NIMS, when NOAA comes out with all of these reports that are kind of pointing the finger outside of their duties and responsibilities to the different user groups and kind of pointing toward status quo as maybe one of the only options that's practicable or reasonable by definition, it's very concerning. So we did, you know, Janessa Newman from the Yukon River Tribal Fish Commission did a really good job of authoring that statement as a reply to the NOAA report. And there are a few groups that are working together very collaboratively on further follow-up, whether it's op-ed opinions online, combating narrative from the industry or otherwise, even the department. It seems like that we need to manage and responsibly and equitably. We can't just blame environmental conditions that are outside of our control to maintain status quo on commercialization. So I think the biggest updates and reports there are yes, there are a lot of folks, I think, continuing to work on that. Karen Gillis is BSFA. She's the fiscal sponsor for an organization called the AYKTC, Arctic Yukon Tribal Consortium, and it's both CRESCO and Tribal Fish Commission and ABCP, just under 100 tribes working together, and we're actively putting a lot of information stories out about what's been going on within the both CRESCO and Yukon watershed, and just making sure that there's at least another point of information out there that continues to show or at least tell a different story than what we might be seeing from these big reports. Kind of the truth of the matter is that we need to take more precaution in times of uncertainty instead of continuing to advocate for status quo because we don't know what's going on. So that emphasis on precautionary strategy and management, I think is going to be a really important message to continue to move forward. And then thinking about this fall, we've got, our regional RACs coming up, Western, Eastern, YK Delta, Seward Peninsula, and this upcoming cycle for the Federal Subsistence Board is a fisheries one. So just kind of a plug to think about setting our own, commenting and setting our own standards and metrics of success and just kind of injecting kind of what we're feeling and thinking and hearing within the watershed. Those are really good and useful platforms. I think the Fish Commission and other organizations are going to be really trying to take advantage of. And before I'll end and why it's going to be so important, one of the main objectives of the Fish Commission is co-management and developing an MOU with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And one of the main ways to start thinking about, continuing to grow our collaborative relationship with U.S. Fish and Wildlife is that RAC system and FSB is a really good space to share our issues and concerns and support that collaborative relationship that we're growing with Keith Hawley and Shane and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife team here on the Yukon and Matt and Dina and others from the department. So I should have brought this all up earlier and I apologize, but I'm thankful for the questions so that we're able to provide those updates. So look forward to quite a bit more information coming out once we get direction and directive from our executive council later on in August. And then I think a good plan A is looking at an annual meeting within the Lower Yukon early part of the year, this upcoming 2027. And a lot of close collaboration work with both U.S. Fish and Wildlife and ADF&G thinking about 2027 and postseason for 2026. So please contact Jasmine or myself, Craig, at the Yukon River Tribal Fish Commission or your executive council or commissioners within the watershed. Really good points of contact within the 10 territories. And we're really looking forward to a busy winter season because of a lot of the narrative that's going on. There seems like there's just a ton of money being dumped into PR, and a lot of our partner organizations are working really hard on combating that narrative. So thank you.
Thank you, Craig. This is Nathan. I do have one more quick question, if that's okay. I know I've seen some elections coming up in August. I think it's the 18th. Has there been any questions or town halls for the candidates on fisheries? I'm not sure if Karen or Craig could help me answer that.
Yeah, this is Karen again. Hi. And really, just a quick plug for what Craig just stated on, you know, all of those points are really important. And I think the Fish Commission is playing a really great role. So the BBAYK group is putting together a list of questions for the candidates. We've already gotten some feedback from our partners and colleagues around the area, and I think that we're going to try to wrap up the list of questions within about a week to 10 days. So if folks have things they want to specifically request, you can reach out to me. Alternately, if you would like a copy of any of the responses that we get, I'm happy to share those with anyone as well. And I would absolutely welcome your thoughts on what questions need to be asked. So again, if people want to email me, I'm at Karen@bsfaak.org, or you can call or text me 907-887-1148. Thanks.
Okay, and just one more quick thing on that too, because it was a part of the Fish Commission's annual meeting. It was on the agenda in our May meeting. We have partnered with organizations, C4 organizations, so nonprofits that can do a little bit of lobbying. So I know TCC is planning on something to a forum, and then we are working on formalizing a relationship with a little group called Native Peoples Action that also has a C4. We had our commissioners, the fish commissioners, had developed a handful of questions, kind of a fish first policy type rationale, and we shared those thoughts and those questions directly to some of our partner organizations that can do more and more of that direct advocacy or endorsement work. And we'll follow up with additional information. I know NPA will be pretty active and busy at both Elders and Youth and AFN, so after the primaries, but I think people are still getting back from their home communities and spending time out in the village this summer. But there are there are a handful of Yukon-specific organizations and other broader organizations like Alaskan Marine Conservation Council has also authored some questions and are sponsoring some forums later on this fall too. So, you know, the tribal-centric questions here in the
townships.
And then commercial as well, but you know, that really big focus on that small boat fishing versus the big industry guys out in the Bering or elsewhere. So as we learn and figure out dates, we'll do our best to get more information out there. I'm sure we'll have a newsletter or it'll be posted on our website. You know, it's our initials, Yukon River and Tribal Fish Commission, YRTFC.org is our website, and you can sign up for our newsletter. And as we get information out, we'll try to make it public and available on socials and on our website. So.
Hello, Vic here, Tan River.
Hello, Victor.
Yeah, I just got a couple of comments, and I missed the Sanford report on the Salmon River. So can I talk? Go ahead. Hello.
Yes, Victor.
Oh, yeah, I'm just trying to give a report. Go ahead. Pan River's doing good, and that's the fish camp and the culture camp we're having down here. A lot of people here. Good to see kids in the camp. There's fish hanging down. Things are moving, looking good. And if you guys are listening to me, Craig, in up there in Tennessee, so I'm not sure if I met you yet, but you gave a great report on the core status of things like NOAA and us up here with the watershed and the river system, and we gotta figure all that out. And all good is, don't forget to vote, okay, because of what the governor's status stand on fishing issues such as subsistence versus commercial out there in the ocean. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Victor. And thank you, Karen and Craig, for answering Nathan's questions.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Nita. I'm going to be going by boat, so I'd like to do my report real quick if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
I spoke to a couple of people. They're satisfied with the fish they got for the year, and people are...
Oh, no. Nipita.
That's all they're going to be doing for the rest of the season. And there's hardly any picture on the river. The water's dropped some, but it's still high down here. And that's about it.
Yeah, you cut off there for a sec. Thank you, though.
Oh.
Thank you, Nita. Where were we? Is there anybody else from District Y4A that would like to give a report? Communities of Anvik, Grayling, Kaltak, Nulato, and Koyukuk? Press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. If not, we'll move over to District Y4A and C, communities of Galena and Ruby. Is there anybody from those communities that would like to give a report? Well, if none, I'll switch off to District Y3, communities of Russian Mission, Holy Cross, and Shagluk. Is there anybody from those communities that would like to give a report? please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. Looking at this, I don't see anybody from there. If none, I'll move over to District Y2, communities of Mountain Village, Pipitas Point, St. Mary's, Powell Station, and Marshall. Is there anybody who would like to give a report? If there's nobody, I'll switch off to District Y1. Nunum, communities of Nunum Iqa, Alaknak, Imangak, Kalik. Is there anybody from these communities that would like to give a report? Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line.
Hi, Mike. This is Marvin.
Hey, Marvin.
Good afternoon. Hey, I missed part of the beginning of the teleconference again with B. No fishing reports going on here. People are concentrating on they're concentrating on picking berries right now, salmon berries. We're still in the tidal influence, having some decent tides at night. It's split. So one concern I had that I noticed after we went up into the lake inside Kotlik with last fall storms, the land between the lake and the Kotlik slough here, it eroded away and created a shortcut. But while it did that, it drained out all the water that was in the lakes, about a foot or so. Places would easily be on step and going through. In the maze up there, we had to slow down and keep cleaning the intakes on the outboards so they wouldn't keep overheating. So that'll be a concern we'll have later on this fall, see how the whitefish react, and same with the pikefish that go up there to spawn. And people are looking forward to the fall season, if there's enough for subsistence wise, the fall chums and the silvers that are coming, which probably will follow the summer chums and be fairly abundant, I'd say. Besides that, everybody hopefully have a safe beer picking time and just enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you, Marvin, for your report. Is there anybody else from District Y1, communities of Nunamik or Lakanak, Mangak, or Kotlik? Hearing none, I'll switch over to the coastal communities of Chivak, Hooper Bay, and Scammon Bay. Is there anybody from these communities that would like to give a report? I'll go ahead and open up for open discussion. Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. Anybody? Well, I think that will conclude our Yukon River Intertribal Salmon Management Teleconference. Next week we'll have our teleconference on the 4th of August on Tuesday at 1 p.m.
Hey, real quick, this is Nathan again here in Anvik. if any of the managers are still on, what was the number of fall chum that passed pilot station so far? I wasn't on in the beginning.
Yeah, this is Bonnie from Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Since July 19th, 70,000 chum salmon have passed. And a portion of those, we haven't done the genetics yet, but there's the beginning of that, there's probably a good portion of summer chum, but they're in a pulse right now. And after those go through, hopefully those will contain more fall chum salmon. So we'll have to get back to you when we get those results. But 70,000 is the number passed so far.
All righty, thanks.
Is there anybody else that would like to ask any questions or discuss anything before I conclude this meeting? Hearing none, I'd like to conclude this teleconference. Thank you for attending, and hopefully we hear from you next week. Thank you.
Oh, my name is Ben Junby in Eagle.
Hey, Ben. Hello.
Hi. How much Chinook went by? Our sonar yesterday?
Is there anybody that would like to answer? Ben Junby.
Yeah, this is Fred with Department of Fish and Game. So far, past Eagle, they're up to
17,947
Chinook. 947. Yep, 17947. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's what point they went through already, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben Junby.